Hello, and welcome to another interview from Jason's Connection. I'm Erica McIntyre, Jason's Connection's Content Director. Today, I will be talking with Tom Cocaine. Thanks so much, and it is cocaine, right?
It's cocaine, so how appropriate it is that I might have had a few addictions.
So that leads me to my first question. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I was born in Southern Illinois in 1943. And raised typical Southern Illinois fashion, and went off to college and played sports in high school. I played basketball, I played football, and I played tennis, so I was very active. Went out to college. I played at a small tennis, small college in Davenport, Iowa called St. Ambrose College, where I was attended as a tennis scholarship. And I left early because of my addiction. I had an alcohol problem, and I actually got kicked out of college my junior year. The good story, because I got sober and I went back and graduated from Findlay University in 1975. I started college in 1962 and graduated in 1975. So all things are possible with a 50 IQ if you just don't quit. That's my first advice. And that advice was to myself also. And I worked in various industries. I sold class rings for Balfour and Jostens and got in the insurance business 35 years ago. And I have been in the insurance business until 4 years ago. I ended my career with Humana Healthcare. I was a manager for Southwest Ohio. And now I'm semi-retired. I do Medicare, Medicare Advantage, and I help people that's 65 and over or people who are disabled. And I do that mainly, 95% of all my work takes place in the open enrollment period, which is from October the 15th till December the 7th.
So you're also in recovery. Can you share your story about that? You brought up a little bit about it already, but can you tell that story?
Okay, now, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. I'm also what?
In recovery.
Okay, recovery. Yeah, the recovery process, the recovery process is September the 17th, one day at a time. I celebrated my 40th year in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I celebrated my third year, I will celebrate my third year, December the 3rd, in Overeaters Anonymous. So let's go back to the Alcoholics Anonymous. I had probably, like I stated, I was kicked out of college in 1963 for alcohol in the dorm and marijuana and some other stuff we won't have to go into. But I definitely had a drinking problem, but I continued to drink until I was 33 years old. At that time, I had 7 DUIs, and if it was the 2015, I would probably be in jail. But back in the 70s, when I had my problems, everything was a lot looser. You know, I always had a second chance, but I did finally have my driver's license suspended in the state of Illinois, and I could not drive anymore. So I was in a desperate situation, and so I thought, well, I tried everything else. I knew I needed to quit drinking, but I didn't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I made a phone call, and this gentleman took me, who later became my sponsor, which is a very important part of recovery, is having a sponsor. But he took me to my first AA meeting. 40 years ago, September the 17th, and it was in a small town called Mattoon, Illinois. I was too embarrassed to go to an AA meeting in my own hometown, so like most recovering people, we're in denial. So I went to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting to do three things. I wanted to accomplish three things. Number one, I wanted to learn how to drink 6 beers and then quit without getting in trouble. Number two, I wanted to get my family back. And probably that was number one. And number two, I wanted to learn how. And number three, I wanted to get my driver's license back. So in the order, I really wanted to get my family back. I wanted to learn how to drink responsible. And I wanted to get my driver's license back. And I found out for some people that one beer or one drink is too many, but 50 is not enough. Mm-hmm. But it took me about 6 months of 5 days a week going to meetings before it started to sink in to my my way of life.
Yeah. So how did you get your family back? Did you get your license back?
I got my license back. In fact, it's really a good story. But the family, it was sometimes, sometimes we're forgiven of everything, but the situations and circumstances don't change. We have to live with what we did. So I did lose my family, and I started going to AA, and I met a lovely, lovely lady who was going to Al-Anon. And she was going to Al-Anon because her husband was an alcoholic. And she had just recently got a divorce. And so we met every single day, Al-Anon, Alcoholics Anonymous, and we struck up a friendship. And then a year and a half later, it developed into a lot more than a friendship. And I've been married to that lovely lady for 40 years now. Thanksgiving Day, it will be 40 years.
Wow, congratulations. That's a really an incredible story.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're active in more than one 12-step program. What is that like for you, and why is it so important that you sponsor others and that you continue that work?
Well, all 12-step programs, they're just, if I had my way, if I were president, I would make everybody attend a 12-step program. It's a way of life. It's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. In the 12-step program, after listening to 11 steps, the 12-step program really says it all. And it says this: after you have a spiritual awakening as a result of these other 11 steps, you continue to carry your message to other suffering people and you try to help them. So that's the whole crux of it. And alcohol speaks for itself. I was destroying me and my family and people on the highway that I almost hit and killed. I was destroying. They said the alcoholic will destroy directly 10 other people. Well, wow. I was pretty well known, so that circle was probably 50 for me. But then the other situation was I had an eating problem, and I controlled it by purging. And I also am a pretty good tennis player, and I play tennis. I'm an athlete, so I controlled my overweight by exercising maybe 3 and 4 hours some days, a lot of days, just so I could stay 20 or 30 pounds overweight. So finally, I retired 3 years ago, and I got on the scales. I'm 5'8", and now I weigh 160. But when I got on the scales 3 years ago, I was 197. And I had been up to 190. That's the way most of my life. And I said to myself, when you get my age, you talk to yourself. So I said, self, there's got to be a way out of this. And I've tried all the diets. I tried FenFen. I tried Weight Watchers. I'd been hypnotized. I tried you name it, all the weight thing. And I could lose weight. There was no problem losing weight. But the problem was I couldn't keep it off. So I thought, the 12-step program, AA helped. I think I'll go to an Overeaters Anonymous. And I went to I'm a slow learner. See, AA works so well. 40 years later, I go to OA. So I walked in the OA program at 197. Over a period of time, and I went to 5 meetings a week, just like I did in AA, and I lost 47 pounds, and 3 years later, I've kept it all off.
Wow.
And it's the 12-step program, and that's, it's the 12-step program is to have a big book, and I've read the entire big book many, many times. But the real crux of the program is after you have a spiritual awakening, you go out and you help other people. And that's right. What keeps you sober, and that's what keeps you thin, is the 12-step, least for me. And it's a spiritual program. It doesn't say a religious program. It's a spiritual program.
What would you say was the hardest step for you to make?
The hardest step, or the hardest concept, was denial. That's the problem with most people who have a problem. They have a blind spot. And I really, really enjoyed drinking. I really, really enjoyed eating. But I found out that I just could not drink one. It led to many. And what I was afraid of was my whole lifestyle would change and all of my friends would change when I quit drinking. And guess what happened?
What?
That's exactly what happened.
But for the better, right?
Yes, and I see the AA people tell you that you don't have to change things, but they say you have to be willing to change things.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to change things, and then we call it the higher power, we call it God. God will arrange things in your life that if you're supposed to change a lot of things, then God will be on your side and he'll help you change a lot of things. I'll give you an example. I used to always go home a certain way in this town that I lived in, and I would always go by this tavern. And I used to have so many good times in that tavern that it was really, really hard for me to go another way. And when I went the other way, I had to go by a train track. Now, this was in southern Illinois, and about 90% of the time that I would go the long way, a train would come by. And these trains would go about 30 miles an hour, and I would sit there for maybe 30 minutes trying to get home with this train. So I told my sponsor, I said, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'm sitting here. I got to go the other way and go by the bar, you know. And my sponsor said, let me tell you something. Go the long way, and when the train comes by, have your AA book there, and it will give you 30 minutes of reading while you're waiting for the train to go by.
Yeah.
So you've got to want sobriety. You've got to want the we call it abstinence from food, and it's only certain food because you can't be abstinence from all food. But you've got to want the recovery more than you want the addiction, and you got to go after it harder than you've ever gone over anything in your life. And if anybody tells you it's easy, then they haven't been addicted.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up kind of a good point that I didn't think of. You know, we can live without alcohol. We can't live without food. I mean, comparing the two addictions and managing the two, I would think that it would be much more difficult. I mean, not having been addicted to either, fortunately, I know how lucky I am. But, like, I mean, you can't live without food. So how do you manage that? I mean,
food is harder. Food is a harder one because we say that you abstain. You have abstained from food, abstinence. I'm sorry, the word is abstinence. Well, here's how this works. You're abstinence from your trigger foods. And most of the time, a trigger food is something that causes your mind to react. It causes you just can't eat one. You know how I just can't drink one beer? Well, I can't eat one potato chip. I can't eat one cookie. I can't eat one piece of fudge. I can't have one ice cream cone. So I found out by going to OA that one of my main trigger foods, like 90% of the people that's overweight, they have an addiction to sugar. So I have cut out all desserts and really pure sugar. Now, there's a lot of foods that sugar is hidden in. So I still eat sugar, but I probably have gone from 400 or 500 grams of sugar a day to maybe 20 grams of sugar a day. And after now, after I've done it for 3 years, I can't eat a sweet roll. I cannot eat a piece of chocolate pie. I can't eat a piece of fudge. And I used to eat ice cream. Here's a great thing. Here's my story. I used to, on the way home, I used to stop at the convenience store and get a pint of ice cream, soft serve, every day. And I would come home, and I told myself, I'm just going to have a scoop. Every single day, I'd eat the whole pint, and I'd put chocolate on it. And I was scared to death the first OA meeting I went to. I thought, you know what, I can't do this. So I was going to stop by the store and get some carrots. I was going to get some healthy food because I have the munchies, and after dinner, I have to keep eating. So I came home that first night, and I passed a convenience store, and I got home, and I was tired, it was raining, it was December the 3rd, and I didn't want to get back out of the house. So instead of eating, I started reading the literature. And that's when my higher power just spoke to me, and it said, if you're going to try, I'm going to help you out. And that's how all these 12-step programs work. You know, it's a God of your choice. Now, my God happens to be a Christian God, but it works for a Jewish God. It works for a Muslim God. It works for a God of your choice. But you just have to know that there's a power that's more powerful than you that can help you. So when I came here, and on that night that I forgot to stop by the store to get my carrots because I was going to munch on carrots for 2 hours, instead I picked up a book. And I read this book for about 3 hours, and my system was crying for ice cream. I was so dead tired. By 10 o'clock, I went to bed, slept all night. Got up the next morning, went to my second OA meeting. And it said this. We have readings, and there's 9 tools that helps you recover. One of the tools is meetings. One of the tools is a sponsor. Another tool is a telephone. But another tool is whatever. You know, there's 9 tools. And I used all the tools to help me, but the meetings are my number one tool. So I went to this meeting the second day, and the reading, we had a reading for the day, and the reading said this, that if you forego your trigger foods and if you forego the time that you have the most problems, and my problem was from 8 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock at night. If you do something during that time, read a book, pray, whatever, then the God of your understanding will help you, and you won't have a weight problem anymore. You won't have an alcohol problem, you know? And did Larry ever come? No. And that's what, and see, I knew it worked that way because it worked that way. And one success breeds another success. See, I knew I could do it. I knew it worked in AA. So I thought, well, let's give OA a try. And by golly, and guess what? If I had a gambling problem, that's exactly what I'd do with gambling. I don't. Now, that's one problem I don't have. Not the only one I don't have. Okay. Yeah.
So, what would you say to someone who might, you know, be listening to this and who feels like, you know, some part of their life they don't have control of? Maybe they're not ready to admit, oh, I'm addicted. But, you know, you can feel the control slipping away. What would you say to a person who was going through that?
First, I'd say that no matter what the addiction is, no matter how hopeless you think, you know, I'll quote John Maxwell, who is a great motivated speaker. He said, a person can live 40 days without food. A person can live 4 days without water. A person can live 4 minutes without air. But a person cannot live 1 second without hope. So I would say there is a way out, because if you go to a meeting, if you go to an AA meeting, an OA meeting, any kind of 12-step meeting, you're going to find the exact person in there you're going to find a lot of people that have that same problem you've got. And you're also going to find in that room many people who no longer have that. They are recovering one day at a time. I'm an alcoholic. I'll always be an alcoholic. But you know what? I haven't found it necessary to take a drink for 40 years. So somebody would say, well, you're not an alcoholic. I was so addicted that I thought there was no way out. I had to reach my bottom. And that's, unfortunately, that's what most people have to do. But, you know, we went to a meeting the other day, and somebody says, thank God for the gift of desperation. If you get the gift of desperation, and if you don't give up, you're going to find a way out. I promise you that. I promise you from the bottom of my heart, that's a true statement.
What would you say to someone who has a friend or a loved one who is obviously battling an addiction, because it, like you said, one alcoholic can ruin 10 people's lives, or, I mean, it affects everyone around you. You know, we all have an effect on everyone else around us. So what do you wish the people who were suffering with this and their spouse or their best friend, you know, could know and could do?
Well, there is, and I'm really emphatic about this, go to an Al-Anon meeting. Because you find out real quick that you can't help them. If you could help them, you would have done it, wouldn't you? Because you love them. You can nag them. You can make life miserable for them. But guess what? You can't help them. So you go to an Al-Anon meeting. And Al-Anon meeting tells, here is a room full of 10, 15, 20, 30 people that have exactly the same scenario that you've got. And there is, when you get a bunch of people that are brainstorming and really transparent, and they're hurting and they're saying what they've done and how they've been able to cope with life while they're hopefully that their loved one will get help. So my answer is an Al-Anon meeting. That's you get all the counseling you want, but an Al-Anon meeting is another 12-step meeting for recovery for people who do not have the problem. You probably heard of Al-Anon, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And here's the key. Don't go to just one, because, or just don't go to one AA meeting. Don't go to one OA meeting. Don't go to one Al-Anon meeting. Go to five or six until you find one that you're comfortable in. Because they're the only problem with meetings is they're made up of real people. And sometimes the meetings, you get a wrong chemistry there. So don't go to one meeting and say, well, I sure didn't like that. But do yourself a favor if you want to recover, or if you want to help somebody recover. Go attach it, approach it like it's a matter of life and death, because guess what? It's a matter of life and death.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, it's the same thing, you know, if you try a new doctor and it doesn't work, you're not going to not go to the doctor ever again.
Right.
Find a different one.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's the same concept. You're going to try on a pair of shoes till you find the one that fits. You might as well do
it's
the same
exactly
thing.
That's exactly right. My wives aren't that way. I've been married 40 years to the most lovely woman in the whole world. So. But you know what? See, to have the perfect wife, I've got a key answer to that. You ready? To have the perfect wife, it's easy. You know how you do it?
How?
Be the perfect husband.
Oh, well, there you go. I'll have to let my husband know that bit of wisdom.
Yeah, that's all you do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you've been on this journey now for 40 years, you know. What do you wish more people knew about the journey of addiction and recovery? You know, I'm sure, I mean, you said something earlier that kind of hit on it, you know. People will say, oh, you haven't had a drink in 40 years. You're not an alcoholic. I'm sure you come up against misperceptions or bad information. Mm-hmm. And what do you wish more people knew about that journey?
Well, you know what? I just wish they would know that, you know, it is a journey. It's not a destination, right? Number one, it's a journey. But number two, you got to enjoy the journey, because I've been at this 40 years. And when I see a changed life, I'm more excited now than I was 40 years ago. I mean, and it's something that's the most wonderful thing in the world. I mean, you know, haven't you heard it said that service is the rent we pay for living on this earth, service to other people. And boy, when you can help other people, and you help so many people without knowing it. I mean, they say that Alcoholics Anonymous, a 12-step program, is probably the most successful program to help people, yet the statistic tells you that 1 out of 36 people who come in the door the first time recovers, gets sober. 1 out of 36. But guess what? The people who go for 1 year, then you got about an 80% success rate. So it's a matter of, I wish to tell people there's a way out, hang with it, and it'll happen. All you have to do is go to these meetings and you see these other people, And anybody that's been addicted will tell you it's a feeling that nobody knows until you've been until you had a recovery, until you have a breakthrough. And freedom, it's like Martin Luther King says at the highest, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Now that was a quote. I didn't make that up. I wish I had it.
Yeah, I mean, the freedom, my grandfather was in AA for the last 20 years of his life, and it saved his life.
Yeah.
It brought him back to us. And
yes.
So, I mean, I saw firsthand growing up the problem and then, you know, how he decided he was going to live his life for the rest of it. It is astonishing the changes that you can see in a person. But he would have agreed with you. It was never easy.
No.
And it was one day at a time.
One day at a time. And here's the bottom line. It's worth it. In OA, they always say, nothing tastes so good as abstinence. Boy, when you want that piece of chocolate pie or you want that hot fudge sundae, you just don't do it. And the next morning you wake up and you say, boy, I've been abstinent. I'm at the same weight, or I'm 72 years old. I was a quarterback on a high school football team. I was 5'8", 160. Now I'm 72 years old. I've shrunk an inch and a half, but I'm still 160. I'm 5'6½", but I'm 160. The exact same weight as when I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today? I know I have loved talking to you and hearing your story. You're a very inspiring person, whether you mean to be or not.
Well, it's God bless people like you, because you know what? You've got to get the word out. And I guess probably until you become transparent, until you become vulnerable, until you die to self, until you quit caring what other people think, recovery's hard. If mm-hmm. if you as soon as you realize that the most important person to like is yourself, and if you can like yourself without lying to yourself, you're gonna make it. There's a way out. I mean, there's thousands, millions of people that are addicted that are where I am today. You know, and it mm-hmm. doesn't matter whether you're 1 year sober or 40 years sober, we still just take it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We hold hands after every meeting. We say a prayer, and we have a byline. Keep coming back. It works if you work it and if you give a lot of love. And that's the whole crux of the program. It works if you work it. Keep coming back and if you give a lot of love.
That's incredible. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story. I really hope it'll help a lot of people.
Well, I thank you, and it's people like you that do help a lot of people.
Well, we try. That's the goal.